Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I went to a church service the other day, a couple weeks ago, and I had heard that the church service the previous week was 31 minutes long, to which one of my friends replied, "That's not even worth getting in my car to go to." And so I went to the service, and I was expecting to be 31 minutes long, and the pastor preached for about 50 minutes. But after about 30 minutes of him preaching, he literally quit walking around and sat down on the edge of the step, and I leaned over to the person sitting next to me, and I said, "When the pastor gets comfortable, we're in trouble." And so I said that to say this: I'm cognizant of the time. Pastor Becky, if you'll keep me in line from over there as much as you can, but I'm comfortable sitting on this stool. But I don't want to preach till 10 or 11 o'clock when you got to go to work tomorrow in school. And so we're going to do this and end this series strong tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything." Somebody say everything. "Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verses 1 and 2, they encompass a race. They show us the beginning. They show us the middle. They show us the end. What to do during the in-between seasons of life. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, "I'm mastering the middle." Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell them, "Don't stop, don't quit. Keep moving forward." You may be seated. I would ask for a show of hands on how many people in this building are in the middle season or in the middle season of life, but that would be most of us. Because most of our time is not spent on the mountaintop. Most of our time is not spent saying, "This was the greatest day of my life." Most of us are in between miracles, in between great days, in between great moments. And as I said at the very beginning of this series, one thing that I appreciate the bishop has always taught me is fall in love with the struggle of every day. Fall in love with when a giant shows up or a mountain shows up. As a believer, we know that God's promise is that giant will fall, that mountain will be removed, and that our faithfulness allows us to be a partaker and get a front row seat to watching God deliver us from the middle of life to the great moments of the great days of life. And so the last few sessions, we have literally talked about seven things to do in the middle, seven things that get us through those seasons in the middle. Very quickly, number one, you've got to surround yourself with the right people. Can I tell you that who you go to Chick-fil-A with matters? Who you sit next to at church matters? You know, some of us change the way we praise by who we stand next to. Some of us change the way we worship. Some of us change the way we respond to the word of God all by who's sitting next to us. Come on, you know how it is. You've been inviting your coworker who already thinks we're a little crazy. And they finally show up on a Sunday and they text you from the back of the room, "Hey, I'm here." And after 6 months, they're looking for you and they come and they sit down next to you. And of all Sundays for them to do that, it's one of them Holy Ghost wild Sundays. People are running all over the building and marching and screaming and hollering, and there you are trying to act like you don't do that, when you know good and well on a normal Sunday you're pumping your fist in the air and you're amen and you're that's right and you got big old crocodile tears running down your face. You're in it. Sometimes when we're around the wrong people, we don't get in it. We don't stay in the flow. So surrounding yourself with the right people will help you master the middle. Number two, cutting off the weight, throwing off the weight, throwing that weight, getting it out of your life, getting rid of those things. You and I, we walk, or we should walk, in discernment. It's one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit tells us, this should be a part of your life, but this should not be a part of your life. That person is going to be a great blessing to your life, but that person, if allowed to stay, will be a great detriment to your life. So we throw off the weight. We cut off the sin. We cut off the thing which cuts us off from Jesus. Anything that would rob us of our relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ, it should become number one on our hit list as an enemy against God. If it cuts me off from Jesus, I've got to cut it out of my life. So we cut off the sin. Number four, we receive forgiveness, so we walk in forgiveness. If sin cuts us off, then forgiveness connects us. So if we receive forgiveness from Christ for all that we've done, then it is our duty as men and women, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, that we afford the same forgiveness to the men and women that have done us wrong. Because I don't know what they've done wrong to you, but I probably can say with pretty good assurance that what they've done to you pales in comparison to what was done to Christ and what God delivered us and forgave us from. And so receive forgiveness, walk in forgiveness. Five is fix your face. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. You fix your face to finish the race. If you're in the middle of the valley tonight, can I encourage you? Don't get comfortable in the valley, because you were never meant to live there. You're just passing through. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep walking. If a storm hits, don't stop. Keep moving. When you move, the storm lasts half as long. When you stop, it lasts at least twice as long. So fix your face. Look to Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. Number six is walk in grace. Grace declares, I cannot do it on my own. Can I encourage and help somebody today that you cannot do it on your own? Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to make it happen and let God do what only God can do. Grace declares, I cannot do it on my own. Grace declares, it is all Jesus in me. Grace gives confidence. Confidence says, look at God, while arrogance says, look at me. Confidence says, look at what God can do. Arrogance says, look at what I can do. And then we ended last session talking about number seven, develop faith that finishes. Not faith that starts, not faith that makes grand statements and grandiose claims, but have a faith that in the middle of craziness, you say, my faith will not let me stop. I'm going to continue on until I finish. Which leads us to the second part of verse 2 for our new material tonight. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy that was set before him. Somebody say joy. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Why did he endure the cross? Why did he endure the middle? Why did he have to deal with shame? Why did he have to face these things in the middle? Why did he do that? Because there was a joy in front of him that made the middle and everything he was facing worth it. How many mothers do we have in the building today? Raise your hand. How many mothers of more than one child? Raise your hand. You're either the most forgetful or most forgiving women I've ever met. Because after you had the first one, 9 months of uncomfortable agony, pickles and ice cream, that water walk, back and forth to the doctor, back and forth to the bathroom, a husband that thinks he knows what you're going through, but honestly, we have no clue. Then some in this room, 24, 36, 48 hours of labor. Some of you got to the hospital too late. You couldn't have an epidural. Oh, no. And out of all of that agony, 9 months of being uncomfortable, days, weeks, perhaps months, I know hours of agony and physical pain, but when you held the little boy, you held the little girl, all of the pain was not forgotten, but all of the pain was now worth what you went through to get to the promise at the end of the process. The reason that Jesus endured the cross was because there was a picture of you in his mind. There was a glorious church in 2021. There was a picture of your family. There was a picture of you delivered. There was a picture of me healed. There was a picture of us restored. And he said, I will go through the cross. I will go through the shame. I will go through the humiliation. I will go through it all because of the joy that is set before me. How many ladies, how many mothers have had more than two babies? Raise your hand. Oh, how about four? Do I hear five? Hands are still up. Six? All right, we met our limit. Six, five is the magic number where you say that joy is not worth it anymore. You know why? Because when you get to five, that first one's probably about 17 or 18 and has a smart mouth. Come on now. Am I the only parent with a 17-year-old that has a smart mouth? All right, I got three people with me that'll bear witness. If you're going to master the middle, here's number eight. Find the source of your joy. Find the source of your joy. Joy in Hebrew comes from two words that are synonyms and synonymous, Simcha and Sasson. Sasson is where we get the English word sassy. So the next time somebody says that you're sassy, just tell them thank you because they're saying you're full of joy. I don't think that's what they mean, but that's what the Bible says. Joy is used 400 times in Scripture. 400 times in Scripture. The first time it is used in the New Testament is Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. This is talking about the wise men. I know it's hard to think about Christmas, but let me just blow your mind right now. Christmas is 4 months from today. 120 days. We'll be celebrating Jesus' birth and Pastor Becky's birth, and y'all will be bringing me all kinds of gifts. It's going to be amazing. The wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Check this out. The wise men had not met Jesus. The wise men had not seen Jesus. The wise men didn't know exactly what Jesus was going to do for the world, but just at the thought of Jesus, just at the star that was shining that would show them where this new baby Jesus was born, the Bible says they had joy. The joy that was in front of them would not let them stop. Check this out. The Bible says they rejoiced. Rejoiced means joy again. Joy for the second time. It means that the wise men found their joy again. If you feel like you're stuck in the middle, believer, can I just encourage you to check your joy? Find your joy again. Find the reason you started the journey. Find the reason you took the first step of faith. Find the reason you started serving. Find the reason you started following. Find that joy again. How did they respond when they found their joy? They had joy. Matthew 2, verse 1, going back nine verses. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem. Verse 2, saying, where is that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. So they've seen the star. We know that the star gives them joy. You know why the star gives them joy? The star gives them direction. The star gives them purpose. The star gives them a reason. The star out in front of them, it makes them expectant, and exceeding joy is found in their life. So the Bible says that they saw the star. Going back now, verse 9. When they had heard the king, that's King Herod, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Back to verse 10, our original verse in this chapter. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They rejoiced because the star they lost, they found again. You know how I know they lost track of the star? Because they would not have stopped and asked Herod if the star was still in front of them. Well, I wish I could walk right. the star was in front of them. They had followed the star, and the joy, the thing that gave them joy was in front of them, and they followed that. But the moment that the joy and the star was no longer in their sight of vision, guess what they started doing? Asking people how to find joy. Oh, don't miss it tonight on a Wednesday night. These highly educated and learned men had followed for months. Some Bible history tells us they followed for years, and they left their homes, left their families with gifts on camels, and they followed a star. Every day they would look for the star, and when they found the star, they would go after that star. But somewhere in their journey in the middle, they lost sight of the star. And guess who we find them talking to? The one who wants to kill Jesus, the reason for the star. If you get your eyes off of the thing that God has in front of you, if you get your eyes off of joy, if you get your eyes off of Jesus, the source of joy, you're going to find yourself in places you were never supposed to be. You're going to find yourself talking to people you were never supposed to talk to. You're going to find yourself having conversations you should not even be having. Herod says, when you find this baby, come back and tell me so that I can worship him too. They leave his presence in where we find verse 9. They departed, and lo, the star. Boom. It shows back. Now they're the right direction. They saw it in the east before them till it came and stood over where the young child Jesus was. Verse 10, back again one more time. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. In the next 15 minutes, before you leave this altar, before you leave this room, my job is to point you back to Jesus. I don't know what's distracting you. I don't know what's robbing you of vision. I don't know what is so big that you're looking at now and not where God has taken you. But my job is to tell you, the star never quit shining. The sun never quits shining. The sun, our sun, S-U-N, in our galaxy, it is a star. Let me tell you something. In about an hour when it gets dark, it doesn't mean the sun has quit shining. It just means that we're on the other side of the world. But if you'll stick with it, that world and globe is going to spin again. And when it spins again, guess what's happening? The sun is going to rise. Can I encourage you? The star has not been extinguished. We've been talking about the S-U-N. Now let's talk about the S-O-N. Jesus' power is still working. Jesus is still as strong today as he has ever been. There is no sin in your life. There is no mistake. There is no failure that has put you out of his grace, his mercy, his blood, his redemption. All I am here to do is do the opposite of Herod and tell you, hey man, go back out, look forward, and you'll see the sun. And when you see the sun and star, keep moving forward. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. What I'm going to tell you, this next statement, it doesn't make sense. I was going to put it on the wall, but I didn't want you taking pictures of it because it doesn't look like it's correct when it comes to grammar. It sounds like something a kindergartner would say, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's important that you understand how big joy is. They lost sight of their star, the thing that would give them joy. See, Jesus is where I get my joy. So as long as I have my eyes on Jesus, I'll always have joy. We'll get to it in just a little bit, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. So in the middle, when I'm weak, I need strength. And so if I need strength when I'm weak, I need to find the source of my joy, which is Jesus. And when I'm looking at Jesus, I'm using his strength. And so when we look at this text, the Bible says they rejoiced, here we go, with exceeding great joy. If you were to write that out, it means they joyed with exceeding great joy. Rejoice, double joys. They joyed with exceeding great joy. You don't think joy is important? It's the only reason the wise men ever found Jesus. Some things in your life you'll never find
Until you quit looking for happiness and start looking for joy. Until you quit pursuing your passions and start pursuing His passion. Until you quit making sure your will is done. That's why every prayer that I pray, even at 39 years of age, I think my prayers are holy. I think they're in tune with what God is saying. But Sister Asia, at the end of every one of my prayers, I still pray, but God, let your will be done. If I prayed selfishly, make sure that your will is done. Why? Because my will keep me in the middle. Your will get me out. Somebody say amen. They joyed with exceeding great joy. Joy is not a person. See, most of the time when I make these points, I talk about Jesus. Jesus is not joy. Joy is not a person, but it can be found in a person. Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy food and sweet drinks and send to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That needs to become a declaration in our life, believers. Every day of our life, the joy, even on the mountaintop, the joy of the Lord is my strength. In the valley, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you close the biggest business deal of your life, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you're overdrawn in your bank account, the joy of the Lord is my strength. When things are going crazy on Wall Street, the joy of the Lord is my strength. God's joy equals my strength. Check this out. Joy always has to be in front of you. How many of you have an iPhone and you've been to the promised land? How many of you have a Samsung and you're still wandering in the desert? Just kidding. This phone, I'm sure Samsung, I'm sure they have a compass. But this compass on my phone, no matter if I turn or the phone flips, it always points where? North. No matter where I'm at. When I'm on a mountaintop, it's still pointing north. When I go north of where I am today, it's still pointing north. When I'm in a valley, it's still pointing north. So what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about that joy is our North Star. Joy should always be in front of a believer. Joy should always be. And so if you don't know what direction to go, find your joy. When you find joy, you find Jesus. When you find Jesus, you find joy. It is synonymous. And so when I get flipped around in the wilderness and I don't know which way is up and I don't know which way is south, north, east, or west, I'm looking for joy because joy is the direction I'm going. When I'm on the mountaintop, it doesn't say you've arrived. It says, hey, joy's over there. It's on the next mountaintop. That's why I never feel like I've arrived because I'm always growing. You're never a finished product until we get to heaven. And so while you're on this earth, even in good times, you better find your joy. It's easier to find joy in the times of peace and good than it is in the time of craziness and when all hell breaks loose. Check this out. Happiness is behind us and beside us, but should never be a motivating factor in front of us. Happiness is what I call the great distractor. One of the most popular phrases of our time is do what makes you happy. I've got a 17-year-old son that's getting ready to make big life decisions. I want him to be happy. But more than that, I want him saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I want him to make heaven. I want him to serve at a local church and do great things. So if I want him to do those things, my advice to him can't be do what makes you happy. Because we all know what makes a 17-year-old happy. Shoot, we all know what makes a 37-year-old happy and a 67-year-old happy. So do what makes you happy is some of the most dangerous advice you can hear. I was thinking of this while I was preparing this. God dropped this in my spirit, and maybe this is why we are the way we are. In our Constitution's preamble, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Amen. They're endowed by their Creator. Amen. Those are all biblical principles. with certain unalienable rights. Amen. That among these are life. Amen. Jesus is the life. Liberty. Amen. Jesus is freedom and the pursuit of happiness. Wrong. If the reason that our ancestors left wherever they came from was the pursuit of happiness, it's probably why we are more concerned with $800 shoes than paying our rent. It is probably why we take 55 pictures and put 3 filters on it before we put up the Instagram picture, because we want to make sure that people think we're happy when we're really miserable inside. Happiness is not the goal. Jesus is the goal, and joy is the mode and the way that God is going to get you to Him. Happiness, you've heard me say this many times, happiness is determined by happening. That means if you're happy, it's because of something that happened, which means you could be happy at 8:05 and mad at 8:06. Come on, you wake up on the right side of bed. You got waffles cooking and everything's great, and you just received your last stimmy from the government, and man, everything's going right. And then as soon as you got that stimmy, transmission goes out, and you went from glad cooking waffles and eating lots of syrup and butter to now you're mad at the world. You're going to take that attitude to your job, and you're going to get written up or fired, all because of happening. I'm not against happy. I just know that it doesn't last. Say money can't buy happiness. Oh, yes, it can. If money can't buy you happiness, you haven't had enough yet. Because you give me $1,000, I'm going to be happy. And I'm going to be happy spending it. But it doesn't last. Joy always lasts. Happiness is determined by happenings. Joy is determined by God. And guess what? My God has never lost a battle. Something I've never heard preached about joy. If the joy of the Lord is my strength, then joy is a synonymous word with strength. So if joy is my strength, then joy is the strength of God. Which means if God has never lost a battle because of His strength and His joy, when I say in August of 2021, the joy of the Lord is my strength, I am speaking from a place, oh, come on, of testimony that my undefeated God, who has never lost a battle, who has never lost a war, who has never lost a day, who has never lost a moment, that same God's strength is now loaned to me as a believer, which is why the middle don't scare me. 3 things joy will do. Actually, there's a few things, but let's start with these 3. Joy will stir expectation. The Bible says they were exceedingly joyful when they saw the star, because they knew the star meant that they were going to be introduced to Jesus. Expectation, they made the camels run a little faster. They got a little quicker in their journey. And I encourage you, might be in the middle today, but God can expedite the process of the middle when you concentrate on the joy of the Lord and your Jesus. It can put some pep in your step, praise God. Joy will keep you moving forward. If joy is always in front of me and I am always looking at joy, things that make me happy are always to the left and right and behind me, but joy is always in front of me. If I keep joy in my sights, I will never backslide. I will never sideslide. I will never get distracted and veer off to the left or right. Why? Because Jesus and His joy are in my sights. Joy won't let you stop. Why? Because His strength is undefeated, and it's not about to start now. Come on, He loaned you His strength. You can't fail. He's not going to lose, come on, His reputation on the middle that you're facing, on the middle that I'm facing. He has won it all. Joy builds endurance. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before Jesus, He endured the cross. Joy in front of Jesus gave Him the ability to endure the cross. I don't know what you're facing, believer. Online tonight, I don't know what you're going through. But I know this. It's not as tough as the cross and crucifixion is for him. And I have great news. Your battle is not as tough as the battle he faced, but the joy is still the same. The strength that he loans you and I, the strength that we live in, the strength that we have authority in, the strength that I stand on in August of 2021 is the same strength that 2,000 years ago when he could have thrown the cross to the side, but he said, nope, I'm going to carry this cross, I'm going to die on this cross, I'm going to raise from this cross, and I'm going to make sure that the same power that I do all of that in is given to my believers. The joy is still the same. And it says that he endured the cross and he despised the shame. One translation says he shattered shame. You know, your past could be so ugly that you don't ever want to do anything great because you're afraid your past is going to show up. So what does that mean? It's like not going out to dinner because you're afraid that your ex is going to show up. That's over, baby. Move on. You might be missing the man of your dreams because you're afraid the man of your nightmares is going to show back up. That is in your rear view for a reason. And let me remind every believer in the house today, your rear view mirror is this big. Your windshield is this big. Why? Because you've got a lot more in front of you than you have behind you. Don't let the shame of your past, don't let the shame of bad decisions, don't let the shame of mistakes that you made hold you in the middle. I want you to pick your head up. I want you to square your shoulders and say, God, if you'll loan me your joy, I'm going to shatter the shame. And the thing that once ruled me, I'm going to break it down in such a way that it cannot make decisions for me any longer. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Joy shatters shame. Standing on our feet. Galatians says, did not become weary in well-doing. That's a word for the middle. Don't become weary in the middle. Master it. It says, I think, and my brother, he would know this, and I think he's the one who told me this. You have to do something 10,000 hours to become a master at something. To become a pro, to become the best, to become one of the greatest in your field, you got to spend 10,000 hours doing it. You know why none of us are in the NBA? Besides being 5'7 and 260. We didn't put the time in. There's a lot of things that we miss because we don't master. But I've got good news for you. I've spent a lot of time in the middle. You heard me talk about it the first time I preached this sermon. You have 7 or 8 monumental, great days in your life. The day you turn 16, the day you get a car, the day you said yes to Jesus, of course, the day you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the day you get married, the day you graduate, the day you have kids. That's maybe 10 days. Man, you've been living a few thousand. You've lived more in the middle than you have at the end. But that's good. Because if you spent that much time in the middle, you should be a master in that middle. The middle shouldn't scare you. Doesn't mean you're comfortable, it just means you're not scared. Oh, I've been through something like this before. I'm not gonna worry about this. What am I gonna do? I'm gonna surround myself with the right people. I'm gonna throw off the weight. I'm gonna cut off the sin. I'm going to receive forgiveness, walking in forgiveness. I'm going to walk in grace. I'm going to develop finished faith. I'm going to find the source of my joy. One of the great women of this church messaged me earlier today and had nothing to do with anything I preached recently, but I could tell she's a note taker because she echoed something that was preached in a sermon I preached years ago.
There's a lady who said, I'm going to master the middle. Because if I'm ever faced with this circumstance again, I'm going to know what to do. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that maybe in the last few months, few weeks, few years, few days, you've lost focus. You've lost happiness. You've been searching for it, looking and being distracted by the shiny things that life says will make you better. But I want to encourage you today, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you walk to this altar today, you're not pursuing joy, you're pursuing Jesus. When you find Jesus, you're going to find joy. And that joy in the middle of what you're going through is going to be what helps you get to where God has called you to be. I know Sister Ryan and her family are not the only ones. I know there's another great group of people that are going to leave their seats and join us in this altar.